I want to talk to you today on the temptation of Jesus. Will you wait just a moment there by your radio while I talk to you? Jesus, you know, was a young man of like passions with us, yet divine. He knew what it was to hunger, yet he fed the Israelites with manna from heaven. He knew what it was to thirst, yet he caused water to come from a rock. He knew what it was to need money for taxes, yet the cattle on 1,000 hills were his. I say Jesus was human. He knew what a fella had to go through. He knew the temptations we would have to go through, and yet he was without sin, perfect, without spot or wrinkle. And it says, he was led 40 days into the wilderness, and there was tempted of the devil. And did you notice how tactfully the devil sought to trap Jesus? He knew he was hungry. The pangs of hunger were in his body, and he said, Now come, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. No, sir. Yet bear in mind he was hungry. He craved food. His appeal was to his person, self. Yet if Jesus had acquiesced, it would have been tainted food. His source would have been of the devil. And so he said, no, man taketh this from me. Man does not live by bread alone. There's more to life than just one stomach. And yet, you know, there are men and women listening to me now who are selling their souls for something to put in their stomachs, either food or drink. And they sell out too cheap. Self-satisfaction, and they forget that there's a life after death and a judgment coming. The devil appeals to young men and women through sin. It lures and tempts and brings tears and heartaches and sorrows. Sin is awful. Sin bites and blasts and bruises and breaks, and that's one thing the Bible does. It unveils sin. I received a folder telling me about a book entitled The Bible Unmasked. Well, that's a misnomer. The Bible never had a mask on it. It's an open book. It depicts sin as it really is. And this brilliant author ridicules the Bible because it unveils sin in its most heinous manner. And he thinks he's really accomplishing something when he retells some of these awful stories of sin and shame. That proves to me it's God's book. Man, to make a good seller, would not do that. But God unveils sin. He puts it as it is and then judges it. Follow through the Bible, and in every case you will find God condemns this sin and sends it to judgment. That's the devil's work. The Bible shows the combat between the two, the devil and the Lord, and only when you reach Revelation do you find the Lord victorious. The fight is on. I wonder if you know that today, my friend, you there by the radio. Have you felt his power, the power of the devil in your life, his condemning power? Dr. Lee was telling me that a man came up to him at the close of one of his meetings, and as the tears streamed down his cheeks, he cried, I'm condemned, I'm condemned. And Dr. Lee said, I turned to John 3:18 and read, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's it. And oh, today I wonder if you are among the condemned. Are you conscious of your need of him? Then in verse 5 it says, the devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment, and he said, all this will I give thee. Ah, that must have been a temptation. His appeal first was to his person. Now it was to his power. All this will I give thee. The glitter, the glamour, it looked good. And I say that's what he does to high school students and college students and working boys and girls today. He says, I'll give you all of this. He shows them the glitter of the drinking crowd. They're gay and it looks good. He shows them the self-gratification they're missing. Morality means nothing. Sin is the fashion. Are you getting everything there is out of life? And are you by the carload sell out and drift with the godless crowds of the pit of hell? All this will I give thee. All this, and it looks good, but it's tinsel. You say you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do. I, too, jumped the traces when my folks got, as I thought, too religious. I revolted, but I found it unreal. It wasn't lasting. It was hollow and shallow. But bless God, when I took him, the Lord Jesus, he became a reality and gave me lasting joy. Then lastly, his appeal was to the patriarchal. It was fatherly. He said, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. His ultimate victory was in the word. Go to the book itself, young people. A fellow talked with me a while back saying, somehow or other I can't seem to get hold of salvation. I said, why don't you read the Bible, and especially certain passages I gave him. The other day he came to me again, and I asked, have you been reading the Bible? He said, no. I said, of course you're getting nowhere. You'll find strength only in this blessed book, God's book, the bread of life. So, my friend, I grant you that the devil sometimes, and he certainly does offer plenty, he offers that which appeals to you without a doubt, but the Lord Jesus gives you pleasures that are lasting and that fade not away. Yes, sir, that's true. We know that. As young people, we know it. He gives you the agony of Calvary instead of the applause of the world. He gives you backbone instead of being bereft. He gives you a cross instead of clamor, diadems instead of dross, energy instead of ease, fight instead of forfeit, grace instead of gluttony, heaven instead of hell, imputation instead of intuition, joy instead of jazz, king instead of just being kind, love instead of lust, more instead of minus. He is a good old man instead of an ordeal, pardon instead of punishment. He answers questions instead of quelling them, rest instead of restlessness, salvation instead of superficiality, trust instead of temptation. He lifts you up instead of letting you under. He is a vine instead of vinegar. He wins instead of whip. He is our X-ray instead of the unknown X. He gives youth instead of years. He gives zeal instead of Zeus. He gives zeal, he is the God of Zechariah, this wonderful, matchless Savior which we offer you today. He knows what you're going through. And God somehow or other has brought you to the crisis and the crossroads today, you there by the radio. And just it seems you don't know where to turn. And God has allowed you to go on this way till you're at the point of despair today. My friend, we've got a Savior who can snap your life back into shape. We've got a Savior who can blot out the vilest of your sins. We've got a Savior who can take your steps from the road to hell and the judgment to a wonderful heaven above. One who will give you joy and lasting peace down here, ridicule and sneers of the world. But bless God, peace and happiness and contentment that millions and millions of dollars will not buy. It's yours, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. It's yours for the taking today. And I ask you as your friend, will you receive him now? Will you trust him now? Will you make him your very own right now? And know the joy of being headed for heaven. I hope you will.